Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather and to worship you. We thank you, Lord God, for the provisions that you've given us, Lord. We are so blessed. We are so wealthy, really, in comparison to so much of the world. And you have entrusted us with much, that we would be faithful and obedient stewards of all that you have entrusted us with. Whether it's our very lives, our bodies, our money, our the things that we own and have, and our family, our kids, our relationships, that we'd be good stewards of these things for your glory, for your purposes, that our days would be filled with an eternal purpose as we manage and we make decisions and commitments for you. And so part of that, Lord, your word commands us to be active in the work of the kingdom. So we bring our first fruits, the first response of the income you've entrusted to us, to just continue this gospel work in this short time and place that we're here. And it's a joy. It's a joy to be part of this work. And for myself and my family, God, we're privileged to get to be part of it and to give and commit ourselves to it. And so receive this as an act of worship. And all that you and the rest of this morning as an act of worship, not only in our song, but in our testimony, in our prayer, in our looking and submitting to your word, Father, that you'd stir in us a new heart for all that you have before us. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this morning we're going to pause on our journey. We're here at Olive Drive Church. We're preaching through the Gospel of John, and we're excited to be launching into John chapter 10. Next week, but this week I just want to focus on the theme of giving thanks. And we're going to really see this theme throughout the week. So today for our fall all church celebration, I just want to take a few moments and share with you why Christians should always be thankful. And thankfulness should not just be something we do once a year around a holiday meal, but instead is something we do every day of our life in Christ. A key verse speaks to this is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it says this, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First, Christians, there is a reason to be thankful in every circumstance. And what is it? Life with God. We have life with God. New life. Saving grace in our lives. We have love, real love. To know God is to know love, for God is love, the scriptures say. The power to forgive, to see relationships restored and renewed. We have hope for eternity despite whatever hardships or nightmare you might be currently facing. There is a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 speaks of this so beautifully. It says in verse 3 through 7, "According to his great mercy," God's great mercy, "he has caused us, his people, his blood-bought people, to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith, by his power, guarded through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." That's very real, the suffering and the hardships that we face in this time. "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Did you hear it? Our hope is living. It is secure in the power of God. "Although we are grieved by various trials, we who are in Christ are given over to praise to God." There is a response of a Christ centered heart, a person walking with Christ, there's a response, even in the midst of great trials, that is one of praise. It's one of rejoicing. It's one of gratitude. We're thankful. Why? Because we have a living hope. It's not a hope that perishes. It's not a hope that's temporary. Have you heard someone answer the question, how are you doing? And they say, better than I deserve. Or they say, I'm blessed. And that's an interesting response. If you know that person's circumstances and what they're going through is crazy hard. And they say, they're going through something amazing, just unbelievably hard. And they say to you, I'm doing better than I deserve. Or I'm blessed. In the midst of that suffering, there's a grasp into the grace that's been given. The gifts that have been given by God. It's an answer that can surprise us. They're still thankful for the fact that they've been given something they don't deserve. That even in the midst of great hardship, of the world collapsing, of relationships or physical bodies or financial stress, in the midst of that storm, there is a cling to the truth that I have more than I deserve. That I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. And so in that, we get a taste why a Christian is always thankful. Notice the key in this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. I was very blessed by many of you who responded this week. I had sent out an email to the church and just said, hey, send me back a short paragraph or two. It just says, as you think back on this last year, what are you thankful for? And I just want to thank many of you who took time to sit down and punch that out. And it was a blessing for me to get to hear that and receive it. And I couldn't help but, I mean, there's so many I could have asked to share this morning, but I couldn't help but ask a few of you to share. And so we'll be hearing from some of our family throughout the morning, some of the things that were on their minds that they shared. To help me in my sermonette this morning, I wanted to pull a few words from Jordan Rennick. She doesn't know I'm doing this. Sorry, Jordan. She's the wife of Mike Rennick, mother of Riley, Bryson, and Winslet. Little Winnie. She's the daughter of Dee and Carrie Crow, and she's a sister to us all in Christ. Amen. Jordan said in her opening words, she said that she's thankful. Thankful has often been an overused word for me. I used it for nearly every expression of gratitude for things. I felt as though I never really stopped, though, to think about what this word really means. This past season, I truly understand the meaning of the word. Thankful, meaning pleased or relieved. I am in awe of what God has been doing, not only in my life and how it overflows into the roles that he has placed me in. And then she goes on to share a lot more, and I thought she'd be cool with me sharing this. But it was just amazing to get to see how that practically then works itself out in her life. Through real trials and growing moments this year and things that she's been facing, and just abundantly grateful for how God is at work and what God has done in her. And I love how Jordan acknowledges the routine practice of being thankful, and then how she efforts to dig deeper into its meaning and how evident it has been lately in her life when she sees all that God is and is doing. Even in the hard things. Church, thankfulness is not just a haphazard, along the life's road thing we do. It's a core reality for we who are saved by the blood of the Lamb to walk in a restored relationship with God and his people forever and acknowledge that every day. No matter what we face, no matter how bad it gets, our acknowledgement of the sovereign hand of God who is continuing to work in all things and the gospel that sets us free is always a reason to be thankful. Paul learned to understand what it is to really experience a life of gratitude despite what he has. And he spoke it well in Philippians 4, 11 and 12. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, I am glad to be content. You could really acknowledge that what he's saying there is to be thankful for what he has been given by God. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And in the midst of this, he's talking about life in Christ, the gospel at work in and through him, and how it is the center line. It is that thing that's constant, that always gratefulness for what he is in Christ, despite how high or how low the circumstances may be. I want us to know Christ at such a core place in our soul that we come to know these words of Paul as our reality too. We speak these with confidence. And the reality, though, is we can really struggle with this because our flesh wants what it wants, right? Let me ask you to consider for your life, what happens when you lose something you've come to expect? What happens when there's a power outage and you can't watch a TV show or you can't operate your hair dryer? I don't get too upset at that last part. What happens when you get sick and you can't do something that you've planned for a long time? Too often we get resentful, we get angry. And we don't realize that the things that we have and get to do are privileges. They're not rights. All of it's blessings from God. Life is a gift, and it's not something we make ourselves. And so we have to be honest with ourselves. Do you live life looking for the next thing you think you deserve? Or do you realize that you're already blessed with so much abundance that you didn't deserve, that you're grateful? You don't need anything that God hasn't already provided. Even though many of us understand the concept of being content or thankful, I think we can struggle with really living this out in our daily lives. Why? Because our flesh wants what it wants. And I want to contend that in Christ, we have more than we ever could ask for. A few verses to just ponder with me this morning. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 John 1:16, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So much blessing, dump trucks, loads of blessing, we don't even know what to do with it all. Church, we're blessed, we're loved, we're provided for, we're secure in Christ. Therefore, let us be thankful. Let us join Paul, who learned contentment and joy despite his circumstances. If we never see a new campus and we forever have to meet in tents set up in parking lots, we would be receiving more than we deserve. If we live any kind of length of life or get to know and walk with people and participate in the kingdom work that God saved us to, we're getting to do more than we deserve. And oh, how can we even begin to imagine? We can't imagine what God has prepared, is what the scriptures say. It's how good it is. Because of Christ and his life, because we are adopted and no longer orphans, we can be thankful. Colossians 3:15-17 is a verse I shared a lot this last week. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Talking about who we are as a family of God. And be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts as one body, and be thankful. So let thankfulness rule in your hearts as one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks. Be thankful. Do this Christian life that he's given us always with thankfulness. Are you thankful despite your circumstances? Is your heart one of gratitude, not because of what you have or don't have, but because of who you are in Christ? This can be really hard, especially when we're not feasting on the word. Those of you who might be visiting today and don't know Jesus as your Savior, my prayer is that you would get to peek into the window of life in Christ, of the gospel at work, and God in his sovereignty would be unshackling the slavery of your heart and sin to see and savor the gospel, that you would repent of your sin and believe in him for salvation and join this eternal family and know what this is to be eternally grateful. And yet, in daily ways, we are so not thankful. In pondering different things that I've seen or touched on over the years regarding thankfulness, I ran into this old story that I shared years ago, and it's a little goofy, but I think it makes the point. Just a few days before Christmas, a postal worker in the main sorting office found an unstamped, handwritten, messy envelope addressed to God. Curious, he opened it and discovered that it was from an elderly woman who had been in great distress because all of her savings, $200, had been stolen. As a result, she wouldn't have anything to eat for Christmas. The man went to his fellow postal workers, and they took up a collection for the woman, even in the tough Christmas time. They dug deep and came up with $180, put the money in the envelope with no note or anything. The postal workers sent it by special courier to the woman that very day. A week later, the same postal worker noticed another unstamped letter that had been addressed to God in the same handwriting. And in it, he had found a brief note. "Dear God, thank you for the $180 you sent me for Christmas, which would have been so bleak otherwise. P.S. It was $20 short, but that was probably those thieving workers at the post office." Are you critical of God's provisions in your life? Are you always comparing what you don't have to those who have what you want? Never content. Rarely thankful. More often than not, complaining to God. To not be thankful every day is to not appreciate the gift you've been given in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, let it soak in. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Church, constant thankfulness is the proper response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Practically, for those of you who are struggling with this idea of always being thankful, consider a few practical helps. Number one, pray. Pray, pray, pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, 18. The rest of that verse I read earlier. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 6. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Number two, read the scriptures and meditate on who God is, that you would not forget who he is and what he's done. Psalm 7:17, "I thank the Lord because he is just." Your heart of discontent there will be war made with that discontent that fractures life and tears apart families and wrecks us into addiction and other folly. We make war with that discontent when we stop complaining to God like he's missing the mark, and we start realizing that he is just in everything he does, perfectly just. And what does that do when you see that rightly? It causes you to say, thank you. Psalm 30, 12, O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Psalm 95, 2, let us come before him with thanksgiving. Acts 13, 48, they were very glad and thankful. Thank the Lord for his message. I want to close this morning by reminding you of the last words of Habakkuk. We studied Habakkuk last year. It's a minor prophet in the towards the latter part of your Old Testament. It's probably a book, if you haven't been around the church for a long time, you've not really spent much time in. So to give you a quick context before I read his response towards the end of the third chapter, I'll remind you what happened. Habakkuk chapter 1, 2 through 4, Habakkuk cries out, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. And over the next chapters and verses, we see God do one very important thing: remind Habakkuk who he is, God is, and what he has done. In Habakkuk 1:5, he says to Habakkuk, look among the nations and see and wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. Oh, how naive we are to the sovereign, perfect work of God, even in the midst of great disaster, oppression. God tells him to what his sovereign plan is, and it's actually the opposite of what Habakkuk was asking for. It makes no sense to Habakkuk. It actually means things are going to get worse before they get better. But Habakkuk recalls the unfathomable things that God has done in the past. And it causes his soul to well up with faith in him. He stops resting on his circumstances and starts standing on his faithfulness on the sovereignty of God. And even though the storm rages on the surface, he has been reminded of the strength of the rock he stands on. And to the point that he says right here in chapter 3, verse 17, now watch this, even though it's bad and it's only going to get worse, he says one of the most potent words in the mouth of someone who has true faith in God. He says, yet. Habakkuk 3:18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Even while standing downstream of absolute physical ruin, abject famine, the prophet was prepared to trust God. He realized that inner peace and joy did not depend on his outward prosperity, but only on the God of his salvation. Habakkuk did not state that he would merely endure the hour of distress. He said he would rejoice in the Lord and be joyful. This is an attitude of gratitude. God is the inexhaustible source of infinite joy, the God of my salvation. We see these words in the psalmist's words, Psalm 18:46, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. So are you firmly grounded on the rock that is Jesus Christ, on the God of your salvation, when the temporary is crumbling all around, when injustice, death, immorality are literally raining down on your life and the storm waters are raging? Do you remember who you are in Christ? Who the God of your salvation is? Are you able to say, yet? Here's all the bad, all the misery, all the heartache, all the long-standing struggle, yet here is who I am in Christ. Therefore, I will live and do this or that for him, for his glory. And I'll do it with thankfulness. Church, this is why I do what I do. For your joy. My job as your pastor is to constantly reorient your heart to the Lord of your salvation, the Lord of joy, that you would be grateful for him. To preach the word in all its fullness so that your heart stays full of truth and wonder for God. So that you too would heed God's words to Habakkuk when he said to Habakkuk, look and see and wonder and be astounded. That your faith would be full, your joy would be complete, and your heart would always say thank you. We truly do have much to be thankful for. Amen? I'm excited about the rest of our morning. I'm excited just to set the table this morning and then just open a couple little small doors into a lot of what you said this week, just to hear from a variety of our folks, just a little bit of what God's stirring in them. And so let's stand together. We're going to pray. We are going to sing songs. We are going to hear testimony, and it's going to be great. Lord God, I thank you for this time you've given us as a church body to come together and to hear your word, to be reminded of these truths on this afterglow of Thanksgiving 2016. We don't want to hang up the Thanksgiving hat. We want to continue to wear it well. We want to be constant in an attitude of gratitude. And we need you for that. Lord, it can't just be something in a religious way we're mustering up, clothes we're putting on the outside that have a smiley face, but on the inside we're dying. Lord, I pray you would break through those walls, break through our discontentment, our sin, that we would be filled up with the light of Christ in such a way that even in the midst of great hardship, we could say with Paul, we could say with others who have said it well before, how you doing? Hey, I'm better than I deserve. I'm blessed. Because what is on our minds and hearts is you and what you're doing and what you've done. And so, Lord, we continue to work out what you've put before us in making disciples and in sending prepared people to the nations that the gospel be heard and seen. But, Lord, let us, each of us, be attentive to these things. Continue to take them forward and heed what you've given us. To be doers, not just hearers of the word. And Lord, just receive the rest of this morning as worship, as response to who you are. We love you, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.